Welcome back, everybody, to the Be Better podcast. We are in high COVID mode here. So what that means is that none of us are face-to-face. We're all on the phone, which means that I am here in the headquarters. My illustrious co-host is back, and thank you for saving me from another episode with Devin. Gabby, where are you at right now?
I am at home at One Island Road.
Oh, I love the 80s kitchen. I totally miss that place.
Yeah, it's a good one. It'll take you back.
The dark paneling was so welcoming. It was just so reminiscent of my grandparents.
Yeah, and it kind of, everyone always says when they walk into the kitchen, it reminds them of being in a sauna or a steam room with all the wood panels on the ceiling.
Never mind the strong smell of eucalyptus and the high high humidity rate.
Yep.
So, Gabby, you are back, and this is first of all, congratulations on now being a married person and like a full grown adult.
Yeah, I feel like I have big girl pants on now, I guess.
I guess. Was that so? Congratulations. We can talk about that later. But Gabby, we have a fun guest that I think you know this week, and I've known for a while. Let's welcome Scott Patterson from Bora Teamwear. Scott, welcome to the Be Better podcast today.
Right on. Thank you. It's good to be here. Absolutely.
And Scott, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my basement in Southwest Minneapolis. And one of the nice things about my COVID workstation here is I got my two dogs with me, which is pretty cool. And my daughter's upstairs doing virtual school. So this is the world.
Oh, nice. What kind of dogs do you have?
They're two rescue dogs. They're awesome. One's like a little fox. Her name is Mandy. She's about 12 pounds. And she's got a big curly tail. And she's brown. And the other one is kind of a black, her original name was Raisin, but we changed her name to Francis because we thought that was way cooler. And she's
she's a
Staffordshire Terrier. She's about 32 pounds, but she's super stocky. She's kind of my spirit animal. Honestly, that dog is me if I were a dog. So,
oh, nice. So,
worked out pretty well.
And Gabby, you remind me of your dog's name.
Zoe. She's a Border Collie Aussie mix.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yep.
And probably really smart, I imagine.
She's almost a little too smart for her own good. She knows she can get away with certain things.
Yeah, those collies are really smart, right?
Yeah, they are.
Well, we just joined the dog family this summer with Soda, who is a Yorkie poo. Interesting enough, is a relative of Peter and Christina Spencer's dog, Dude, comes from the same. Yeah. And that was actually the story goes that we were at the we were kind of after partying at Peter and Christina's Airbnb up in Grand Marais. And this was after Norpine last winter. Okay. And I think you were with us there. You weren't in the house, but this is before we all met up at the brewery for dinner. And Christina just started sending me dog photos, and I'm like, stop sending me dog photos. Like, she kept airdropping them to me. I'm like in the living room with her, and I'm like, stop sending me dog photos. And then she started sending me dog videos, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, just stop it. And then my oldest daughter was there, and she's like, come on, Dad, just do it. You need a dog. And so we broke down, and I was like, okay, let's look at it. And now we have a 6-pound burrito running around our house named Soda. So that's kind of the story there. So we're all dog folks, which is nice. So Scott, you have recently moved from Bora, moved to Bora from you've had it spend a long time with 45 North. How long were you with 45 North?
Yeah, I was there probably 6.5 years. At that brand, which was great. It was a really good run.
That's a long time. You really have like done some great work there. You really kind of set them up and put them on kind of on the high road. And that's some high praise, I think. And, I see that with your move to Bora, what are some of the things that really excite you about the brand, about the company?
Absolutely. I mean, Bora, for me, kind of, it was a natural progression because, you know, I've always sort of been into the high-end fabrics and technical apparel, right? I remember being a kid and I was sort of the dorky kid who'd like get the Patagonia catalog way back and just like scour through it. And I just have always loved outdoor gear. And so the transition to Bora has been nice because all our fabrics are really technical and we source 99% of our stuff from some mills in Italy. And then the other 1% item is from a mill in the US. And so we take fabric selection really, really seriously and we want to put the best stuff out there. And so it's always nice to be part of an environment where you're trying to create just amazing product, right? And that's been a consistent thread with 45 North and Albora. So
that's great. And when we, and you probably know this, but for Final K, we use Bora for all of our gear for a lot of reasons. But a big piece of it is that I'm not sure how many clothing manufacturers actually are exclusive in the United States, because I know Bora does all their manufacturing over in Wisconsin. Like that seems pretty unique.
It is. I mean, there's a handful of us in the U.S., but that was another thing that I was really excited about in joining Bora was the chance to sort of be part of an enterprise that from start to finish does everything under one roof, and it's here in the U.S., and I can touch it, and it's really cool, right? So we design, cut, and sew everything in this facility just south of La Crosse in the rolling hills of the Driftless region down there. It's absolutely beautiful. And so I get to go down there every couple of weeks from Minneapolis. And again, it's really nice because we control the whole supply chain, right? And that gives us a bunch of creative latitude. And I think ultimately it's just a much more sustainable way of doing business, right? Our product is made to order. We're not sort of ordering a lot of stuff, bringing it in, and then having to close it out. And it's just creating a more holistic product life cycle. And in the next coming year, we'll keep announcing some stuff that's pushing the envelope on sustainability as well. So we're kind of doing that effort to really look at the whole process and not just kind of selling a product, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. And you know, outside of the American production and just, I think the distribution model, what are some of the other things that sets Bora Teamwear apart from, you know, say some of the other competition that you have out there?
Absolutely. I mean, I think some of the, I'll go back a little bit to the fabric and the quality of the materials and the fit, right? You know, what we do with the material layup is, and the sewing is super high quality. And so when someone gets a piece from us, they can try it on and it'll just feel really, really comfortable. And the other thing that we do that I think sets us apart is just high touch service, right? There aren't many folks out there where, let's say you order from Bora and your team order has someone who didn't try anything on, or they just kind of randomly picked a size and it's the wrong size. And we will absolutely take care of them. And so we'll swap that size out at no hassle, no charge, and make sure everybody on the team has what they need. And I really appreciate that part of what we deliver as well.
That's really good customer service right there. I know that we run into that with some of our kits, especially when you get people who want to believe that they're a large and they're really not a large. It might be a little bit more than extra large. And it's like, well.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's hard, right? Because we serve a wide range of customers, and you know, there's folks like me who, you know, weekend warrior, mountain bike racers and fat bike racers. And yeah, I need to size up in our premium stuff because it's designed for a pure roadie with a pencil body and no hips. Right.
Yep.
And so it's like,
that's not me.
I think as long as people know that going in, we make sure it fits great. But yeah, there's always that challenge. The sizing thing is pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
Like, somebody's like, I've never worn a double XL in my life. And it's like, well, sorry.
Welcome
in this jacket, in this jersey, you do.
Yeah, so. Go to Europe and you'll find that everything Italy is very small, and that it's just a number. It's just a
exactly.
number. And you guys support some pro athletes out there, if I understand right. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. We do a bunch of teams. You know, we're sort of scaling that back a little bit and going for kind of more of that grassroots team, which is why it's so nice working with you all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we really see where we can have the biggest positive impact is with kind of those second tier teams. But we've definitely been in the pro ranks before too. So.
Well, that's good. And Gabby, are you aware of Bora at all and what they're doing?
I am. Well, and I've worn their kits, or the Final K kits, for a while, and they're one of the most comfortable out there. And I think what you guys are doing is just so cool, having everything in the U.S. And I wanted to ask, too, you know, with everything that's going on right now, it's just been so disruptive for businesses. Like, how have you guys been doing throughout all these challenges? Have you guys been coping okay?
Oh, that's a great question. No, thank you. I mean, so I'm pretty new, but I think in talking to the folks who were around even at the start of COVID, they were predicting a much sort of slower late summer and fall than we've actually had. And so that feels pretty good. Like everyone's really
that's
upbeat.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's really upbeat. Orders are coming in. And teams are, you know, even teams who aren't sure of the racing schedule for the spring are just excited to get some new kits going, because if racing does happen, they're ready to go. And it kind of feels nice to, you know, have something to look forward to. So we are seeing those orders. Obviously, some of our event stuff this fall was canceled, and we needed to just push that out. But overall, we're doing pretty dang well. And feeling like we should be set up for the future. So let's just get to 2021, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Please.
I was wondering, too, with, you know, is one of the bonuses of having most of your, like, manufacturing and product design in the United States, does it make it easier right now? Because I know some people's just manufacturing lines have been thrown off if they're in different countries, and it probably puts you guys a step ahead having everything here.
It does. No, it, you know, I'll be like, just yesterday, for example, I was talking to a customer who had switched from another provider that did their stuff in Asia. And they were like, we just can't get communication on when our stuff's going to arrive, and it doesn't feel reliable. And so that's one thing that we've really been able to deliver, is that consistency and accurate timelines for folks, right? And we also, because again, we have everything under that one roof, we can flex, right? So if it's slower, we can flex a little bit and still be fine. And then when it gets busier, we can ramp up quickly and still get people their team wear in time. So that is a benefit that we have.
Well, that's
that's got to help.
It's nice to have that flexibility there, I'm sure. And you know, I know that in supply chain issues have been kind of one of the big issues, and that's one thing you guys can totally sidestep.
Yeah, exactly. We just haven't had to deal with that, knock on wood. So that's been, you know, I mean, I don't relish that for anyone else, but it is a nice thing that we've been able to sidestep. And you know, the other thing that we're seeing, and I'm sure you all are seeing on this, is, you know, of all the silver linings out there this year, right? It's obviously been challenging, but some of the silver linings are that more people have gotten on bikes than ever before. We're experiencing just an amazing cycling renaissance, right? And I'm sure that
bike boom.
Yeah. Totally, the bike boom. And it's amazing, right? I mean, people literally want new bikes and they can't get them. And that's a great problem to have in a way. And I think that will continue, because once people get outside and they realize how fun it is again to do some of this stuff, I don't think that's going away, right? We may unfortunately go back to some of the negatives of life as it was, which is maybe overtaxed, overscheduled and stuff. But I think people are going to hold on to this enjoyment of the outdoors and riding bikes and doing triathlons. And so I think that sets everybody up for just a healthier, better future, and it's fun to be part of that.
Yeah, I think I hope those things come back, and I'm sure they will. It's been interesting to see people that have like tried to get into the sport and then trying to source out things like getting into biking and wanting to get a, you know, in a normal times, getting a reasonable price bike, and then they're just not out there. And yeah. it's like, well, you know, you can buy a $5,000 bike and you got a store over here. It's got an $8,000 bike. It's like, but I do know that people that have been selling used bikes have been like I know I've got a couple of friends who sold high end used bikes recently. They've had great success. Whereas that's sometimes been a real hard market to, you know, to have a high end bike to sell used. They've done pretty well with that.
That's exactly. Like it's a really interesting market. I just was selling some wheels the other day and they went like literally within 20 minutes on Facebook. And so,
oh wow.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, that was a nice wheel set and it went, and people are willing to spend money on it because hey, the other stuff isn't out there. And I think, you know, we all want to, during these times, we all kind of want to treat ourselves when it is in that right space. Right. And it feels good. And so,
Yeah.
Get those bikes, get those wheels, you know, get that. I don't know. What are you doing for swimming, Gabby? Can you swim right now? I was wondering, like.
Yeah. So I'm able, well, who knows what will happen as of tonight, but I'm able to swim at a Lifetime that's like 3-4 miles from my house. So I'm still able to swim. That's all I'm pretty much leaving my house for at the moment. So that's been great. We'll see what happens, but I have been enjoying my time in the water.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool that you still have that. Absolutely.
Well, Gabby, you should just invest in one of those flume pools, like an endless pool.
Pools. I know.
You know, and you just all
drop
good.
Drop like 20, 30K for one. And
one of those Michael Phelps style hot tub pool, endless pool type combinations where it's like a little bit of everything.
Put it in my basement.
Yeah, you know, you got it in there. You already have the sauna look going. So, you know, why not just go the whole 10 yards there?
Yeah.
I mean, one less thing. You can rent that thing out. You could have people, you have your friends over, you know, pool party, all kinds of good stuff.
Revenue stream.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah. Revenue stream. Yeah. Reserve your time slot in the pool.
Yep.
Gabby, you may not have known this, but I actually didn't know this until last winter, but I ran into Scott in one of the most unlikely spots that I thought I would run into him at. Because normally when I see Scott, it's at like Schwami or, you know, it's at, you know, another race or whatever. I ran into him at Highland at a high school downhill ski race. And I was surprised to know that, Scott, you're an official there, correct?
Well, I think I was coaching that day with, so I coached Alpine racing with Team Gilboa.
Yeah. So, like,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's my other like hobby job.
That's a pretty big side hobby.
Yeah. It's been fantastic. I mean, I've been doing it forever, right? Longer than I can care to admit, but, and there was a period, you know, a couple of years back where I was like, every year I'm like, I think I might be done. And then I'm just like, who am I kidding? I love this way too much. Like I'm going to do this till I drop over. So, yeah, I've been coaching ski racing for kids for a long time. And now my daughter's 12 and she's into it and that makes it fun. And, it's a good time. And it, you know, it's complimentary with Bora because we do Alpine race suits and we do Nordic suits as well. Right. So that's a smaller portion of our world, but, it's fun to get to play in both the cycle tri world for the summer. And then I got the Alpine world covered in the winter too. So,
you know, I always wanted to pick up more skiing, mainly because of the suits. Because I always thought cross country skiers had the sweetest outfits. I mean, they're like, you know, they're almost like, you know, Cipollini 1997, you know, time trial suits from the Giro where you can pretty much do whatever you want with them.
Totally.
But I thought they were always super, super cool looking and very European. And I was like, man, I got to get into Nordic skiing just so I can get one of those suits. But then I kind of suck at it. and so then I just kind of gave it up. But I think that would be the only reason that I would probably go down that route.
Yeah, the fashion's pretty high. I mean, the Nordic and Alpine world's got it going on for sure, right?
Yeah.
I have an old suit that I got in college that was old then, and I've just held on to it because it's like now it's my like once a year pull it out for the costume race suit, and it's so.
Is it fluorescent colors, Scott? Does it say like?
It's even older than that, dude. It's sort of it's like an Italian. An Italian suit, of course, and it's like all red with some like blue piping, and it's got like these just horrible pads that are basically like dilapidated with inside the thread channels, you know. And but I can't get rid of the thing. We recently moved, and I was looking at it, and I was like, "Does this go? Is this finally the year?" And I was like, "Nah, it's coming.
So, bring it out."
Yep.
The old stuff always seems to go over. I still have the original Columbia ski suit, like downhill ski suit, that I had when I was in high school. And it's like electric blue and hot pink and white.
Is it like one piece? Is it a one piece?
No, it's two pieces. It's like a, it's like a Columbia powder keg, you know, where the inside is like hot pink. And I break it out every once in a while, and my brother and sister-in-law just roll their eyes at me like, "Who are you?" You know, like this would fit in if I was in Hot Tub Time Machine, you know, or if, you know, if you think.
That was like my prime time, dude. That was when I was at my peak, was you know, like late 80s, early 90s. And so my college team Alpine kits were that bright pink with black. And
it was
glorious.
It was so good. I still have it. That I use it for ice fishing up at the lake house. It's the, so that suit now lives at the lake house because everybody else laughs at me when I try and take them out. It's almost like my downhill skis, which are 205s, are legitimately as wide now as probably most cross country skis are. Like that's how they were super long and super skinny, and like now you go skiing and they're essentially a water ski. They're super wide.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I used to race in college on like 205s for my GS skis. Now my GS skis are 168. Imagine that. That's just like mind bending.
It's like, who would have thought? And yeah, it's like, it's a totally different feel. Yeah. Gabby, do you ski?
I grew up on one ski. I boarded.
Oh, you were a snowboarder.
I was a snowboarder.
You were one of those kids. Nice.
Yeah,
and I haven't been in 2 years, so I would be really rusty going down the slopes, but I'd love to pick it back up again.
Oh, that's cool. When you first said it, I thought you were going to say you were a mono skier, which I don't even know if they have mono skis anymore.
Yeah, it was like, wow, that's out there.
No, just a wider ski.
Just a wider one that you don't stand straight on.
Yeah.
Are you like an obstacle course person? Like, do you hit the half pipe or do you just kind of, do you kind of just roll in the groomers?
I would just roll in the groomers. I did my share of going down the pipe. I never got into big tricks or anything. I was pretty skittish, but I loved like just bombing down the hills and going through moguls and stuff, but never got big into tricks and rails and jumps and stuff.
Nice. So you can do moguls on a snowboard. That's impressive. I'm
like, you can't. It's quite difficult, but yeah.
No, that reminds me though. I went out west one time, and we a group of us, and we had this guy from Oregon who was just a monster on the snowboard, and we were going down some pretty technical stuff and some big mogul runs, and there he was right there, just shredding it. I was like, Jesus, that's impressive. So. Very cool.
Yeah, I was
snowboarding. It takes a lot longer to kind of pick up, but you can fine tune your skills a lot quicker than skiing. I just feel like skiing, you can get going quicker, but to get really good takes a lot longer.
It's
interesting.
That's the comparison I learned when I was learning. So
I'd buy that. That sounds accurate.
Yeah.
I was always jealous of the fact that you guys had boots that you could walk in the chalet.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, versus the clanky like ankle breakers.
Yeah, and your feet are always warmer, right? In snowboard stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and just all the gear in general. I mean, if you have any winter fluff, it'll be hidden. It's usually baggier.
Once again, the gear comes out. It's good gear. Out.
The style, exactly. Style points for sure.
Oh, that I've tried snowboarding before. We were up at Lutzen a couple of years back, and I tried it, and I just, you know, because I skateboarded as a kid, and until I broke my arm, and my mom took my skateboard away, made me give my skateboard to my best friend Nick's sister.
Oof,
yeah, I know. It was a beauty. It was a Christian Hosoi with independent trucks and rat bone wheels. I mean, this thing was tight. I love that stick. But when I hurt myself, my mom made me give it away. And so I thought, oh, I can pick up snowboarding because it's immediately the right, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's a crossover. You know, I can slalom water ski. So it should be no problem. Oh my gosh. Like I totally like wrecked my wrists from falling and, you know, falling on my butt. I basically just did a snowplow.
Yeah, your butt gets really sore.
I just snowplowed the whole way down. I'm like, nah, I'm going to trade these in for skis. But I wanted to.
I remember too, from my snowboard effort, it was a sore butt. Like, oh God.
I know. I wanted to look cool, but to see some of the aerial work, like a Sean White does. I did actually get to see Sean in Sochi when we were there the first night we were there and on the half pipe, and it was like to watch those guys, and you know, at that level is just an unbelievable view, like how they can, you know, do those aerials, and they're just going so high, and I don't think you understand, like when they land, it's basically like landing on concrete because those, you know, those half pipes are, there's no give to them.
It's hard. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a young person's game, Gabby. I'll leave that to you. Cause old man Chris here would just I get sore coming out of, you know, waking up and climbing out of bed every day. So I don't need to add insult to injury or injury to insult or injury to injury for that matter. It's all bad. So, Scott, what hobbies are you kind of keeping up on, you know, keeping yourself busy here in the season of COVID?
God, what hobbies?
Yeah, anything outside of like, you know, I mean, biking's an obvious one because you've been in the bike industry for a long time, so that's some low hanging fruit. But anything like, are you into like needlework? Have you gotten into
or sourdough bread baking?
Latch
no,
hook.
I haven't done that. One thing I have done, which has been great, right? And it kind of made me think of it when you were talking about being sore, right? It's like. The COVID time has obviously disrupted routines, and so I'm trying to stay on the bike and keep cycling. But one thing that's been kind of a lifesaver is getting up and doing yoga right away, just a 15-minute quick little session. And it's been kind of cool because now that my daughter's 100% virtual for school too, and we started this in the spring, and I made her reenact it or commit to it again this fall when we went virtual again, was 7 a.m. she's up, I'm already up, but then we get together and we do a 15-minute little yoga routine together to start our day, and then we kind of go off and do our stuff. But that's been a highlight because it just gets both of us in a better mind frame. And I gotta say, like, it's been a bit of a game changer in terms of just feeling, you know, when you do tons of cycling, or I'm sure you all can relate, right? If you just do majority of one or two sports, both skiing and cycling are kind of brutal on your hips. And my hips are just like, oh God. And then this yoga, I'm feeling so much better and more limber. And so that's been a win.
Oh, I'll take
cool. Cool. Where do you get your yoga sessions from?
You know, I do. So there's that Sufferfest cycling app, right?
Yeah.
And on that app, you just select yoga, and there's like 50 different yoga exercise or sessions, but literally I'll just go through, there's one block of them called activation and mobilize, like just movement, and they're 15 minutes, and there's like, I rotate through like maybe 5 to 10 in there, and it's awesome because it's just quick, and that's about the right amount of time for me in yoga. Like, I'm not going to be the really slow yoga person. These are paced right for my brain, and 15 minutes and you're done, and you feel like, man, I feel way better for the day. So that's what I've been using, and I'll definitely give a shout out to whoever made those because they're awesome. So
Sufferfest cool. Yoga. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know, right? Who would have thought? I just stumbled upon it, right? Because I was doing last winter, I was doing, you know, some of the cycle workouts, indoor cycle workouts on there, and they were awesome. But I just stumbled across the yoga and the strength stuff in there, and it's pretty legit. So.
I've done the Peloton app with the that kind of got me through the summer, mainly because it was just it was 90 days for free, you know, so I didn't have to pay for it. But but they do strength and yoga and as well, and I know that they do. It's one of the rare apps where they have built-in subtitles for people that are hard or have are deaf or hearing challenged. So I know that that's a big piece that they have. So,
do you have one of those bikes? Obviously,
no. I've talked so many people out of those bikes mainly because.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I think you're better off getting a bike trainer.
Absolutely. I was just surprised that you would have one. Honestly, I was like, oh.
No. Yeah. When I say Peloton, I say like it's the same company, but they have an app, like a fitness app.
God.
Right. Body weight stuff. Cause I was at Lake House and I was like using paint cans as weights.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, that's cool. COVID times right there.
I know. I was like, I'd wake up and I'd have paint cans in the living room. My wife come like, what are you doing? And the kids would be laughing at me. Like, stop that's laughing at your dad.
Another good tool is cinder blocks. Using cinder blocks for lifting at the moment.
Yep.
Good call.
Or just building a house. I actually stopped doing the Peloton when I started building the bunkhouse, and I woke up every morning after, you know, like pounding 1,000 nails or, you know, putting up walls or hanging sheetrock or doing all that stuff. That was like my hands actually got numb at a point. I had done so much work with my hands. Like I would wake up and they would be numb. They're not numb anymore now, but yeah, I was worried for a while there. But yeah, the Peloton app is good. Going back to, you know, the trainer, I think that, you know, I've talked to so many clients about buying trainers, but again, kind of like everything else, you know, trying to get them is difficult. There's not a lot of them out there. In whether you want to get direct drive or you want to get wheel on, you know, those are, they're big price points and man, they're so nice. And they've come such a long ways. And again, you know, they lay up with a bunch of different apps, whether you're doing, Zwift or any of the other things that are out there. I would much rather see somebody buy a bike and a trainer than, and take that double cost than just buy a Peloton, because a Peloton, you're just kind of stuck inside.
Totally.
You know,
totally agree.
And you can get the same effect on it because you can use the, you know, you can use the app. They can, you know, get somebody screaming and yelling at you, playing music in the background, you know, with the app. And so it's all kind of the same. Have you ever been to a Soul Cycle before?
I have not. I did a Peloton workout though at a hotel on a work trip once. They had the bike and the video, and I was like, I got to do something, so I'm gonna try this. Yeah, it was very much the.
Did you ever been to SoulCycle, Gabby? Have you ever been to a SoulCycle studio?
I have not. I did take back in the day a couple like spin classes at a Lifetime, and those were wild.
The high end, yeah. I was at a SoulCycle, and it was in San Francisco. A client of mine who was a tech lawyer, and she's like, "This is what I'm doing out here, and I just want you to experience it." And I'm like, "Okay." And I went and like it's a big kind of like boutique cycle studio on like the East and West Coast. They're kind of really popular. I didn't fit in very well because I wore cycling shorts and like, you know, I wasn't like, you know, super fit and didn't have like my smart water with me. But the other thing was like, you know, I was getting on the bike and I know how to fit myself on a bike. And the guy's like, here, I'll help you fit. And I'm like, no, I know what it needs to be. He's like, no, you're in the wrong position. I'm like, stop it. Quit touching me. And, but what caught me off guard was not only, you know, how loud it was, but then that was all red lights. So it was like, you were in a death chamber.
Nightclub.
Yeah, exactly. And then the guy was dropping F-bombs like left and right as an instructor. I'm like, what? And and then all I could think about was I had a flashback to when an old friend of mine, Neil Hailstone, who was we called him the Brit with grit. He used to lead a spin class at the Fix, and I remember doing his class once. He kind of talked me into it, and I had the worst cycling accident ever on a stationary spin bike because I brain farted and forgot that they didn't have coast. You couldn't coast on it. So we're doing this high level spin and I went to coast. And I just kind of like stopped pedaling and it threw me over. And I basically got wrapped around the bike and I gashed my leg open. And I was like in the front and Neil's looking at me. He goes, never mind the guy in the front. Everybody keep moving. And I'm like, I'm in so, much pain here. But so the funny story is that my worst cycling accident ever occurred on a stationary bike inside.
That is super funny. I can't believe Neil left you for dead like that, man.
Oh,
that
yeah. Well, he had other things to do. he knew I was low hanging fruit. Like, he's like, what? Like, what? Chris is going to do something against me? That's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's like the guy. That's like the guy on the ride, you know, who gets injured and the other person just keeps rolling. All right, I'll see you at this checkpoint.
Yeah, you're good. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right, cool. You good? All right, keep going. Bye. They can take care of themselves. Oh yeah, good times. Good times. Gabby, what are you doing lately besides exercise and training and stuff? I know you got to be thinking about. I mean, we're probably gearing up for next season for 2021 because I'm guessing 2021 is going to be a big breakout year for you, if assuming everything happens, because you're kind of on the beginning of that of the pro lifestyle, right?
Yeah, it's we're starting to think forward and look towards the spring. We're thinking positively, so we're just kind of rolling into some training. We've got some testing coming up and kind of just pushing forward. Yeah.
Do you have any races on the calendar that are tentative at this point in time? Are you like St. Anthony's or anything like that?
Yeah, St. Anthony's definitely. That was one I was hoping to do this, 2020, but they pushed it to 2021. So I'm hopeful that will take place again. So that's the first one and only one that we have on the schedule at the moment. Hopefully, you know, once a few weeks go by, we can kind of suss out and see where the season might end up. But we're just kind of gearing up and preparing as if April will be our first race and going from there.
All right. Well, good luck to you this year. I know we'll be following it. Look for some race reports. Scott, do you race anymore? Yeah. I mean, I know I've seen you out doing things. Is it more just kind of like going out and participating, or do you actually get competitive and do you train for some of these fat bike races that I see you at?
I mean, I would say last winter I was definitely, I was in training mode. I was trying to, get in shape for some of the races that we did, like the winter whiteout. The Cuyuna whiteout is one of my favorites. And so I was definitely like trying to follow a program where I was going for, I was trying to get the podium in my age class, right, in some of those races.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get there. But I definitely got faster. And then I kind of rolled into summer. Obviously last summer was a wash, but I mean, you know, I kind of get lazier in the summer, which has been funny because I'm spending more time with the fam and just riding for fun. And then I'll kind of ramp it up in the winter. This year, I would say I'm taking a more holistic long game approach where I'm trying to build out much longer and do more base work and kind of look at a 32-week periodized plan.
Okay.
And see if I can roll into June just in the best shape of my life. So I'm not like hyper competitive, but I definitely love trying to improve and get faster. And that idea of getting better every year, even as I get older, is really motivating to me. So yeah, I mean,
if you ever need a coach, I know a couple of folks that know some folks. So,
awesome.
Just hit us up offline. We'll take care of you.
That'd be great, man. I may kick you up on that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Scott, Gabby, it's been such a, the time has just flown by. I mean, it's crazy. I hope, I wish both of you the best of luck. I wish, both of you good health and, stay safe inside. Keep training, 'cause we'll be back out soon enough. Don't give up on that, but, thanks for being on the show today, Scott. I appreciate it.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thank you. It's been a blast. Gabby, it's good to meet you. And Chris, always good to connect. So, we'll be in touch. We'll see you around.
All right, Gabby, you know, I think married life has some new adventures for you down the road. But I firmly expect that you will not abandon me anymore so that I don't have to put up with Devin as a co-host anytime soon. If you would give me, if you'd give me a pinky swear on that, because I can no longer take his all of his pimping out his other different things that he's got going on.
I'm giving you a virtual pinky swear.
Oh, thank you so much. All right. And I that and on that I will leave this off. So thanks everybody for joining in for another episode of the Be Better Podcast. And remember, check out some of the past episodes and back episodes. And we also have some swag gear. If you go to the Final Case store, you can get one of the awesome T-shirts with Coach Mike drilling and crossing there as a with our cover art in the top. And make sure you share and tell people if you like the show, and I know people are looking for other shows to listen to. Feel free to give a recommendation on that. But thanks for being here. On behalf of Gabby and Scott, we'd just like to say, be a little better.